Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Room by Room, the Home Organization Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Gabriella Yastra, coming to you from NAM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's begin. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about sustainable ways for a zero-waste home with Neela Patti, who is a natural extrovert, a zero-waste activist, and a people person. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Hi. Thank you for having me in the show.
So we get to know you a bit before we get started on our topic today. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. My name is Neela Patti. I'm originally come from Indonesia. I've been living abroad for the past 13 years. I just came back actually at the beginning of the year to Indonesia because I feel like, okay, you know what? Adventure time is finished and then now it's time to go back home. And I've been living zero waste since 2016, since when I was doing my master's study in the Netherlands. And since then, I've been moving to Maldives and then now back to Indonesia and still continue with the lifestyle. And I can assure you, you can do it wherever you are. And we can continue later on the details.
Yes, I have lots of questions because actually one of my questions was going to be like, is it different in different countries and like, you know, different countries have different ways of living in different societies and cultures. So I'm very curious to ask you more about that later. But before we do, we're going to do a section called Have You Met Neela? And that's where we ask you some of your favorite things. So the first thing we'd like to know is what is your favorite book?
Oof, that's very difficult because I read one book every month. But my latest one is I reread again The Alchemist. I used to read it in Bahasa Indonesia and then now I read it again in English and I cannot put it down. So if you never read it, please do. But my all-time favorite, probably The Kite Runners. Mm-hmm. It's amazing book, actually. So yeah.
And why is it your favorite?
It's a novel. It's a story. Well, it's like novel based on true life. You know, like it's about life struggles and it's about how to overcome challenges and living abroad, living by myself. I mean, I left my home country when I was 16 to live alone. So it kind of like, you know, goes together with me in a sense that, you know, it's okay to struggle. It's okay to live alone, but you're always going to find people around you who help you and go through things together with you. So it's sort of like self-motivating kind of book, but in a form of stories, which is really fun to read. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't read it. And I mean, I've heard that it's a really good book, but I've just kind of never thought about what it's actually about. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Sounds good.
Thank you. And have you watched any movies recently that you've enjoyed?
Movies recently? Several movies. The latest one that I really like is a Korean movie, actually. It's called The Parasite.
Oh, yes. I love that movie.
It's quite old, like a couple of years ago already. Mm-hmm. But I watched it in the cinema and then I rewatched it again. And then you find new things in the cinema. They have amazing cinematography. I love watching movies where they have like, you know, focusing on different kind of views and stuff. And the storyline is completely unpredictable. So yeah, it's really fun. If you never watch it, please do, because it's nice.
Yes, I did watch that. And it was a complete turn. Such a twist.
Right.
I had no idea.
Well, you know, so am I blowing.
Exactly. And it's for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, please watch it. We don't want to spoil it for you, watch it. But yeah.
I also went through and watched it a second time because I just was like, I need to see it knowing the twist afterwards.
And you need to digest it because you see different, like you see more things after the second time you watch it. It's very rare for me to watch a movie twice or three times, you know, like, because I was like, oh, you know, I got it. I got the plot in the beginning. And then with this one, it was just like, I get out of the cinema and I'm like, what? How? You know? And then I have to rewatch it again to understand it better. And then the moment you rewatch it again, you see the details of the shot from the director, which is incredible. I mean, it's fantastic the way they do it. Yeah.
Mm. Also, new phobia unlocked.
Let's not spoil it too much for the audience.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to say anything else, but yeah. You're going to have a new phobia if you watch this. And do you listen to any podcasts?
I listen to a lot of The Economics. So I'm pretty religiously watching all of the videos. The podcasts of The Economics. It's fun. It's kind of like bringing a difficult topic in a crisp way. That's what I like to do as well. Because let's say when we're talking about climate change, we're talking about sustainability. It's really heavy. I mean, it's so big that usually a lot of people doesn't want to talk about it. And then I try to bring it as in like, okay, well, it's a fun way to do it with the zero waste lifestyle. And then you go through the zero waste lifestyle and you talk about sustainability while you're doing that as well.
Mm. Yeah, because I think, I think that the way that we're going to be able to wrap our heads around a lot of these big topics is through learning a little bit about it each time and in very easy ways, like through podcasts. And then after 20 podcasts over a year, maybe you'll start to have a fraction of your understanding. But if you try and learn everything at the same time, just going to be completely overwhelmed by it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree on that. Little bit, I have this saying, you know, like in zero waste lifestyle, it's one step at a time. You don't have to be scared that, you know, like you fail today. Like, it's fine, you know, as long as you enjoy what happened to the rest of the day, it's okay.
So I like to start off our podcast by getting some definitions. And so we know what we're starting from, you know, what is our base? What's our foundation? So the first thing I'd like to know is, what is your definition of home organization?
Home organization is basically, for me personally, it's you don't have to make your home to be quite clean or, you know, like look like a Pinterest kind of view, but you just have to know where things are and put things where it belongs, so it doesn't create clutter that you yourself cannot solve later on. Mm-hmm. So it can be look like a little bit messy, but then you know where exactly things are.
So I guess it's you know, if you're reading a book, leaving the book out, that's fine. But then, you know, if you're finished reading the book, put it away. So if you want to read it again, you can find it again. Okay. And how does that fit into, well, number one, what is sustainability and how does that fit into home organization?
That's a really big question on what is sustainability, because we can go on for 2 days and 3 days in the definition of it, right? But sustainability for me, it's everything. It's everything that you do. It's not just your lifestyle. It's the way you bring yourself to the world. It's the impact of you to the environment and to the world. And let's see, you know, you can talk about environmental sustainability. You can talk about economical sustainability. You can talk about social sustainability. It's how you sustain things so they don't end up, you know, ruin or running out of resources. And it's the same with your home. Like if you end up going back to your home, make sure that you don't lose your energy. So you sustain your energy properly. So you can do things that you need to do to sustain your home. So that's basically what sustainability thing. It doesn't have to be so super environmental friendly because the definition is quite wide. But if we're gonna funnel it down into just sustainability in environmental term, is to make sure that we keep our resources as good as it is, so our children and our next generation can still have it and can still enjoy it the way we are enjoying it right now, or even better, let's say.
And so I'm guessing that this will influence, you know, how we live in our homes, you know. Everything has an impact, I'm guessing, on the environment. And so how we live in our homes is going to impact how sustainable we are and how we affect the environment. So how does the home impact the environment?
Yeah. So when people talk about sustainability, they think it's like climate change is a political issue, is things that government need to solve. But actually, if you do it from your home, if you do it from yourselves, we can actually work on it. I mean, it's a big problem that when you just break it down into small little pieces, it end up being individual changes of behavior. So I like to put it this way, that when you are at your home, think about it as you're the president. You own your home, or you know, if you're a rental, you still have it under your name in the rental place. So you own your home, you are the decision maker, you decide what is happening and what comes into your home and what comes out of your home. So you have the default authority and default autonomy to do such thing, right? Okay, if you still live with your parents, you might be the minister of health or minister of finance, you know, like, but when you think about it in that way, you have the authority within your home to do something. So you're not pointing fingers at other people, but you just make sure that it come back to you. And then you make sure you bring it the good thing from your home to the world, let's say. And as a consumer, it's a big thing. If you are a conscious consumer, then you buy products that is sustainable product that make sure that the environmental impact is as minimum as possible. The production of the product will be increased. So the business will, you know, like get the benefit of it as well. And they will realize like, okay, there is money in it, so we have to do something about it. And the government will see like, oh, there is a demand, so we need to make a regulation to make it easier for people to access it. So it's all a ripple effect basically on what's happening inside your home. And the smallest thing that you can do, for me, to start when I was doing this, like in 2016, when I was doing my study, is the zero waste lifestyle. And my motivation is not the environment. I'm not that kind of, you know, like saint or, you know, whatever you want to say it. My biggest motivation was economically sustainable, because I just don't want to buy more stuff. Like, I used to be addicted on shopping. Like, I used to buy several shoes that I only wear once or twice, clothing that I only wear once or twice, and food that, you know, packaged in so many different things. And when I realized like, okay, this is not good for my financial situation, I need to do something about it. I find that zero waste lifestyle is something to help me to, you know, put a brake on the consumerism lifestyle that I had.
I know that in Australia, I know at the moment that we're having a bit of a crisis in terms of cost of living. So I think that it's probably the same in quite a few other places in the world. So I really like how you've brought it back to economics rather than to the environment, because, you know, I think that the environment is important, but often we're like, I'd love to do something for the environment, but at the moment it's too expensive for me. But you're actually bringing it down to, it's going to benefit you because it's going to reduce your costs. And everyone's, well, a lot of people are feeling the cost of living crunch at the moment. So can you explain a bit more about what a zero waste home is?
Yes. So zero waste home is basically a home. And I'm not talking about you're not producing any trash. Please, you know, like that's a wrong definition. I still am produce trash, but I try to treat it as much as possible so it doesn't end up in the landfill or being burned down, you know, like in Indonesia, like at the moment in Indonesia. But when I was in the Maldives, then it's in the Maldives. Then, you know, when I was in the Netherlands, then make sure not being burned down in the incinerator there. So I try to minimize my packaging as much as possible, and then focusing on the whole food. So it's not just economy, because then when I go buy something, there are so many questions that I need to answer first before I can buy it. Like, for example, how am I going to dispose the product once I finish? Right? Second, am I going to use it for many, many times? If not, can I borrow it? Can I borrow it from somewhere if I only use it for once, you know? And that kind of question really filter out so many things. I actually save up so much money that year in the first beginning of the year in 2016. I bought a ticket from the Netherlands to Indonesia on the money that I save, you know? So I was quite happy with the amount of money that I save. And at the same time, I reduced the amount of fast food that I'm eating because fast food is always with packaging. So I eat healthier. I feel healthier. So my lifestyle become healthier just because I'm focusing on the food that comes with natural packaging and not just a packaging that is, you know, like a synthetic or plastic. That's the first thing that I'm reducing, actually, plastic, single-use plastic, because I know it cannot be treated properly, even in the Netherlands.
Yeah, in Australia, we had a problem recently. We had this recycling system where they collected soft plastics, and you would collect it at home, you take it to the supermarket, and they would recycle it, except it turns out the people who were recycling it didn't know how to recycle it, and there were just warehouses full of soft plastics. And so I think everyone at first was thinking they were doing the right thing by collecting all this plastic, but it turns out we couldn't actually do anything with it. So, but at the same time, having said that, I feel like it's so hard to get away from that single-use plastic. In my own life, I try not to use, you know, plastic bags when I'm getting vegetables. But like, you know, things like my bread is in a plastic bag, my milk is in a plastic bottle. How do you get away from those things? How do you stop using that? Yeah.
Well, this is something that I found out when I was in the Netherlands. Like, do you go to a baker when you buy bread, or do you go to the supermarket, Gabriella?
I do both.
Okay.
Because the bakeries aren't always open on the day that I need the bread.
Okay. If you have a big freezer, let's say, my suggestion is to use your pillowcase. I actually talk about it in my TEDx talk, that I just use my old pillowcase that has a little hole that I'm like, okay, I'm not going to use it anymore, you know, but it's still clean. And I go to my baker with this gigantic pillowcase, right? I went to my baker and I said, like, can you put the bread in here? And then they were like, oh, you mean I wrap it in plastic and then I put it in your bag? Like, no, just cut it and then put it here. And they look at me as if I'm a lunatic. And I'm like, no, I just need the bread to be inside here, right? After a couple of weeks doing that, right? So I only buy once a week to this baker, and then I keep the rest in the freezer. You can put bread in the freezer and you can thaw it later on. The next time I went there, this guy brought like a really neatly sewed cotton bag in the form of the bread. So he said, like, you know what, do you want to buy this? Like, he found an economical value on this. So do you want to buy this so you don't have to use your ugly pillowcase, and then you can just use this one and, you know, like, put the bread in a nice case? I was crying on the spot. And I was like, oh my God, I actually did something. I actually make this people see the benefit of being sustainable. So from there on, actually, we managed to convince one of the biggest supermarkets in the Netherlands to do the same, to sell a bread bag. And as a small thing that changes of lifestyle, you can do this. You, like, consumer can do this. So since then, I realized, like, okay, the small little things we can do. And, you know, like, you're talking about bread. That was my solution, if you would like to give it a try. Because fresh bread usually have, like, you know, freshly cut, and then they put it in the plastic bag and then they give it to you. Or the second thing, if you are crafty enough, making it yourself at home is also fun weekend activities. But if you're like me, sometimes I don't really have the time to do that. I go to that direction. But that being said, sometimes you just don't have the means. You just don't have the baker nearby your town. You only have the bread in a plastic bag. Like when I was in the Maldives, you know, it's quite difficult to get things shipped without plastic, single-use plastic, then it's okay. You know, like, don't beat yourself up. just collect the plastic and then try to make sure to send it to the places where you know, okay, this will be treated properly, let's say.
I love that because, I love going to my local bakery and buying a fresh loaf of bread. And that comes in paper rather than plastic, so I feel a bit better about it as well. But sometimes, you know, Mondays they don't open because they need a day off as well. But I need some bread, so I go to the supermarket and I buy some bread. The other thing is the fancy bread from the bakery is $3, $4, $5 more expensive than the bread at the supermarket. And, you know, or you've got kids who don't like the crusty, lovely wholemeal bread. They want the white bread with no crusts on it. So I'm really glad to see that you're saying it's okay to buy the plastic bread sometimes. But what can you do with that plastic afterwards? Because as I said, it's very difficult to recycle it. So what do you do with it?
Yeah, so first, if you end up having plastic in your home, what I do is try to reuse it multiple times because usually plastic, I'm not sure what they use in Australia, but you know, like around the globe, usually they use the type of LDP, low density polyethylene. So this is actually can be reused multiple times as well. So you try to reuse it, and if not, use it as a fun activities to do crafting. People make like this tote bag out of several different plastic that they fuse together. They do such thing as well. So that's something that you can do. And you know, if what I do when I was at university, I always try to go to the baker at the latest hour so they can get a discount. So it's cheaper to get it like at that moment rather than in the beginning of the morning, and the bread is still tastes the same, and I put it in the freezer anyway, so it should be okay. But that's my approach on this whole thing. But again, you know, if you cannot do one thing, then do another. Like if you cannot give up your toothpaste to change it into another type of toothpaste, then do something else. Like every single effort counts. So it's okay, really.
So I do have a question about that. So I've done a few podcasts where I've talked to, you know, quite a few different people about how to reduce different types of waste and how to be more sustainable. And I think that each person has a different takeaway and a different expertise. So after talking about those things, I've started changing a few things in my life to improve that. But I've come to a kind of point. So I take my grocery bag to the supermarket and I have my reusable grocery bag. I try to catch public transport as much as possible or walk. When I buy my vegetables, I just put it straight into my canvas bag. I don't have a little plastic bag for each one. But I've kind of come to a point where I'm not really sure what the next step is. What is when you're not a beginner, but you're also not an expert? Like, what is the next step?
The next step is to take a look on, to reset, basically. Take a look on your trash can, especially on your recycle bin. See what else can you do. It's impressive that you can tell actually a story of a person just by their trash. This is what I did as well to a lot of people that I work with. I mean, I did like sort of a consultancy sometimes to help guide people through the sustainable journey or the zero waste journey. And I just asked them, like, take a look on your trash bin. I can literally tell what kind of lifestyle that you have based on that, right? Mm-hmm. So take a look at that and see what else you can think you can find a replacement that is more sustainable. Let's see. Like, for example, a lot of people said like, okay, you know what, Neela, why are you still writing on a book? Why not an iPad? You know, like this kind of thing. And I said, because I cannot. I have to scribble. I have to write things down, you know. And I'm okay with that as long as the book is, you know, recycled or paper that has been used one side and then I use the other side for it. I tried also to make sure I minimize my, traveling because I moved to different countries, let's say. So that's something that you can do as well. If you have the financial means, of course, you can do a lot more than people who doesn't have the financial means. But doesn't mean that you cannot do anything when you don't have that. Like, when I live zero waste, my clothing, I keep wearing. I do clothes exchange with some friends, you know. This is zero economical expenses that you have. If you have a sister, that's even better, because then you can just switch it around with your sister. I use my mom's old clothes that is, you know, probably older than me, because vintage fabric is somehow a lot better than the current fabric. If you want to do more, a lot more than just changing your lifestyle, you can try to do a petition. You can try to send out to companies saying that I'm as a customer, I'm requesting this. Would you be able to provide it for me? Such thing, it's a small, simple thing that costs nothing that you can do to move forward, to, you know, like to bring your impact a bit more further than just having a reusable tumbler or reusable bag. But yeah, there's a lot more things in this whole house. If you take a look at your home and cut it per sections, I don't know if you know the KonMari method, you know, the tidying up kind of approach. It's a little bit different than the zero waste approach, because zero waste doesn't mean you have to minimize things. Let's say I am not a minimalistic, because I like things. I like my jewelries. I like to wear things, but as long as you wear it, as long as you make sure you get it from the source that is sustainable, it's okay. For me, being zero waste doesn't mean that you have to beat yourself up just because you want to be good to the environment. And let me give you like some sort of a secret in here. Mm-hmm. The environment, the earth, doesn't need us. Like, we can go extinct and then it will just keep moving on, you know? We need the earth. So if you think like, oh my God, I'm so bad for the environment, think twice. Like, you're actually bad for yourself, because, you know, like, you need this environment to stay steady in this way for you to survive. So my motivation right now is not externally, you know, it's not like we have to save the earth. Well, there is more to that. We have to save the earth to save us, because the earth will continue being the earth. It has gone to like fourth or fifth mass extinction. You know, it like human extinction is nothing for the earth. But we need to make sure that we don't extinct. So that's a perspective that I would like to share as well to everyone. Yeah.
I love that, because now that I think about it, the earth will be fine without us, and probably a lot of animals. I mean, because we're not just affecting us with climate change. We're affecting the things that live on the planet. But the earth itself, I guess, once we're gone, if we go, it'll restabilize, and the animals, various animals, will evolve to the new climate. I'm a bit scared of that theory, not theory. I'm scared of this mentality. It's like, I want to help the planet to help myself.
It's a survival mode.
Yeah. Okay. So, and it's not even for children. Like, often people are like, save the planet for the children. No, it's, I don't want to have to spend the money to pay for air conditioning, because the earth is hotter.
Yeah. I mean, you can be selfish, like find your own motivation. My motivation was money in the beginning, and then it just, you know, grew, becoming like more to more environmentals, and then, you know, more to bigger picture. But in the beginning, I was like, okay, I need to protect myself. But the way to protect myself is also protecting the environment. So we can do such thing as well. And you don't need to be a climate activist to be sustainable. You can be, I don't know, like anyone that work in journalists has, you know, like a lot of voices coming out. A doctor, you can try to see how you can create a stream of, you know, like this consultation or diagnosis a lot better. So you can be sustainable in your own way. There is no one guideline for it. Like there's no guideline actually. It's just you do it the way you feel that is comfortable for you to push your boundary, but not break it.
Let's say.
Okay. Yeah. So so it's about figuring out what's the best for you, what works best for you. That's good because there are some things that, you know, I've been in my own life where I'm like, I've done these changes, I've made these changes, but this is something that I don't think I can change. Medication is one of them. We need medication, unfortunately. We can write to the medical companies and say, please make our packaging more sustainable. But at the moment, we still have bottles, we still have the packs. You can't recycle them, not really. So obviously that's something I can't change, but I can recycle the plastic, the cardboard that comes with it.
Or you can ask the company if they would like to take back the packaging so they become a responsible producer.
Okay.
Let's see. That's a kind of campaign that I'm trying to build also in the apothec pharmacy. Let's say, in the pharmacy in Indonesia. Language barrier. I speak three languages and sometimes just get switching around. Anyway, so in the pharmacy in Indonesia, we try to see if the pharmacists can take back the use, packaging, the use medicine packaging, so they can send it back to the producer, or they can try to find a way to process it a lot better because they have the quantity to have to send it for recycling, because you need quite big quantity. Then we don't have that as a normal consumer. Yeah.
I have seen that. I actually work at a pharmacy in Australia, and we actually have started doing that this year, where we collect the packaging for that to send to companies. But I'm not sure how the recycling is going. I've talked to some friends about this, and the recycling is quite expensive, apparently, to actually recycle these. So I think it's a really great step. I'm not 100% sure how effective it's going to be. I think we're in the beginning stages of it, but I think it's great.
Hopefully the technology will come soon to make it better. Yeah. Mm.
And yeah, if anyone knows more about this, please reach out to us, because
absolutely,
I'd love to hear about this. So what are some other ways, or what are some challenges to being more sustainable? We've talked about one, which is, you know, that it can be, you know, there are some things that we can't change. What are some other challenges people find?
I think it's the perspective of the people. Like, people are used to with the way they used to live, and they're not used to with the different, opinion and perspective. I have a lot of questions from people that, you know, quite ridiculous sometimes, you know, like, how can you live? How can you eat? You know, like this kind of thing. But I'm like, that's possible. It's not impossible. I'm healthy. I eat proper meal. It's not like I'm malnourished just because of I'm living zero waste. But yeah, other people can really impact you sometimes, especially if you're in the beginning process. And please don't worry. There's a lot of support out there. Australia has a campaign of, plastic-free July. I don't know if you have ever heard about it. But that's like a really nice campaign. It's from the Australian activist, and you can follow that. You can take a look on the process some tips that they have. But don't feel a little bit of a burden. And another challenge is, of course, I've seen in different countries they have a different values, they have a different norms, they have a different culture, and sometimes plastic is a culture. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it is. Like, for example, drinking tap water is a no-go in Indonesia. Please do not drink tap water in here. So you have to find a bottled water or packaged water. And if you don't buy the big gallon of 19 liters, then you end up with the single-use plastic. So different places, find your different ways to do things. It's not like if you live in Europe and then you can implement things in Asia, or if you live in Australia, you can implement things in different countries. You just have to find your way and adjust accordingly. But it is possible. there are things that you can talk to and challenge probably from the seller. If you were talking about buying stuff and because they're not used to things, have a conversation with them. Be kind because they're quite new to this. It's not like they refuse just because they don't want to help you, but just because they don't know what else. They don't know what is the better way to do things.
I remember, in Australia, I feel like in the last 10 years that I've been living here, a lot of things have changed. We've banned plastic bags. So now everyone has to have these, you know, reusable bags. We've had reusable cups become a lot more popular and prevalent. We've gone from one company doing them and it being a bit of a novelty to many, many companies doing that. And I think it's really cool that it's become such a normal thing as well. But I think sometimes I look at my bin and I'm like, there's so much more that I could do and that we could do.
And you have all of the tools at home, actually. Sorry, but I just want to say that you have all of the tools at home. So please don't have a misconception that it's going to be very expensive to live sustainable. Because you have everything with you, basically, on living more environmental friendly. Yeah.
Can you explain a bit more about that? Because I think that is a misconception that I've heard. You know, if I want a reusable cup, the reusable cups are $20. I could get a free cup, you know, and I just buy the coffee. So it does, and then I lose the keep cup, of course. So, without it being more expensive, how can we be more sustainable?
I just have to share with you things that I did in the beginning process of my zero waste. Remember, I live zero waste for the economical value. So I'm not going to buy new stuff. I'm just going to reuse things that I have, right? And that's where I figured out that you have everything with you. I went to a coffee place using a mason jar, a jam jar. Just like, you know, the jar that you get when you bought jams?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I use to get coffee. And then I just knit some sleeve so it's not too hot to hold. And I start with that. And then people look at me and then they're like, oh my God, this is so sad that you use a jam jar. But I was like, I don't care as long as I don't, you know, like I don't use this plastic. Paper cup is coated with plastic. So it's not a paper cup. It's basically paper/plastic cup. This is better than that one. Because then you don't drink the plastic because the heat actually interact with the plastic that is lining the cup. So you basically introduce it to your body as well, right? And it's not expensive because, again, there are so many things. I mean, I use everyone have a metal spoon at home to use while they're eating. I just use that one. I don't buy a new type of this fancy foldable spoon, you know, that people use. If you like to go camping, then you have all of the tools that you need to live zero waste on the go. So basically take a look again on, like, be creative from your own home because you will find all of the answer there. And it doesn't have to be expensive at all.
I have also done the bringing a metal cutlery to have lunch at work. What I always worry about is if I leave it and drop it somewhere and then eventually I'll have no cutlery left. And that's why I have plastic cutlery, because I'm scared of losing it. I guess that's just a worry that I have. And I don't think there's a question there, because I think the answer is don't lose it.
Yeah, I think the root question is that why do you lose your stuff in the first place, right? it's not the stuff, it's not the fault of the stuff that mm-hmm. you're losing, but like it's zero waste lifestyle really asks you to ask internally what is inside you, and to make sure that, you know, you understand yourself better as well, like to find a way what is the difference between needs and wants. Like, you want many stuff, doesn't have to mean like you need many stuff. And as you can see, like, this is basically my home. I got nothing at all. Like, I only have the necessity stuff that I feel like, okay, you know, I need this and that's why I have this. But if I don't have a justification of stuff that I have, then I don't buy it. And it's good for me economically and it's good for my mind, because then you have a clear house, and then you have a clear mind as well. I mean, it's a bit more philosophical, it's a bit, but zero waste is like that. It's not about waste. It's about your lifestyle and your behavior. And that's why it's quite difficult for people to accept it, because it's very difficult to change your own behavior, let alone make sure that other people understand why you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the main problem is just the habits and changing the behavior. So
that's, yeah.
So I know that this is a big ask, but do you have any tips for how to change your behavior?
Do it one small step at a time. This is my mantra, basically. Okay, some people said like, okay, I'm going to leave zero waste. And then the next morning you see them like throwing all of their plastic container away, all of their, you know, like this reusable stuff away, because they're like, I need to start clean and buy new stuff. And I'm like, that's not going to work. Because the problem is not the stuff, it's the habit of you buying and bringing in the stuff to your home. So, you know, start small, start with the things that you're still comfortable, and then push a bit further. When I lived zero waste in the 2016, when I started, I just started with like, okay, I opened my fridge. I'm like, okay, I have so much plastic in it that I want to get rid of the plastic, only the plastic. But the moment I get rid of the plastic, I also get rid of the chips bags, like, you know, crisp. I don't buy it anymore. As this junk food snack cookies, I end up have to make it myself, but then it's more delicious and then I love it more, you know? And a toothpaste, I have, at that time, there is no such thing as this, you know, metal toothpaste or tablet toothpaste that currently is quite in. So I have to make it myself. I have to make my own toothpaste. And I was quite scared that my dentist will just yell at me, you know? But in the end, he was like, oh, no, your teeth looking good. And I'm like, are you serious? And he said like, yeah, I brush it with baking soda. And then he's like, oh, I mean, you know, like if it is not too abrasive, I mean, you make sure you put coconut oil in it. I'm like, yeah, I did. Okay, that's good. You know, like this kind of thing. So like small little step, like making my own toothpaste was a push. Making my own deodorant was a push at that time. But now I'm quite comfortable with things that I'm doing. And it's the same with you. Don't burden yourself with being zero waste. It must be fun and you must love it. Because if you love it, you're going to keep doing it. You're going to keep continue. I mean, imagine if you have a lover, you want to give everything to it, right? You like to her or to him or to them, you know, like you want to do that. So make sustainability and zero waste lifestyle in that kind of perspective, that you want to love it and make it your own unique way, because that's how it's going to work.
That's such a lovely way of thinking about it. It's a lover that you want to help and to share with. I do have a few questions. You mentioned like the toothpaste, which I did watch your TED talk, and I saw how you created your toothpaste. So if anyone does want to watch that, by the way, we'll link it in the show notes. It was very interesting. But I did have a few questions there, because maybe I would be okay with using this homemade toothpaste, but I live with someone and that someone would not be okay with it. How do you live with someone? Oh, okay. So I did a zero waste challenge at the beginning of the year where I tried to reduce my waste. It was great. I did a bit of it. I tried. The problem was that my partner, who I live with, he would buy packets of chips and then I would eat the packets of chips. He would buy the biscuits. He would buy all the plastic packaging. And then I'd be like, well, it's already in the house. I might as well eat it. So how, if you live with someone, you know, if you live with your parents, if you live with a partner, how do you get them on board with, you know, what your passion with being zero waste?
Yeah, it's not easy, I can assure you. I mean, the closest you are with the person, the harder it is to convince them. But it's possible. But again, you know, it's a habit, it's a behavior. So approach it with love, share mm-hmm. the love. Don't like, there are ways that I don't really like, you know, blaming and shaming doesn't work, because then they will be like, oh, okay, you want to do that? Then I'm going to use double plastic bag right now, you know, like this kind of thing. So it doesn't work. Just share and then, you know, facilitate. Sometimes they just don't know how to facilitate things. Like my husband, before he met me, until now, was still slacking sometimes, you know, like ordering drinks with straw and all of this thing. But he tried. So when we go shopping, we bring our own bag. When we go to like cafe, I bring my reusable straw. And when he forgot, I just give it to him, like ta-da, you know. And then he's like, I asked him return the straw to the guy that is over there. So it's a small little thing that you do, and you know, you try to approach it with the fun way and with the loving way. And again, it's changing of behavior, guys. Changing yourself is already hard enough. I can imagine it's gonna be hard to change, you know, other people. But if you live in the same house. And as you say, you know, they buy a bag of cookies, let's say. And what if you bake a cookie and then you share the cookie that you bake with them, just the other way around? And they will crave for your cookie rather than for the cookie that they bought at the store, right? So it's small little things. But I can assure you it's going to take time, but it's going to work.
And I do have a tip with the cookies. You can freeze cookie dough in little balls, and then you can bake one or two biscuits at a time, so they're fresh and melty, and they're better than the ones at the supermarket. And that, so when my partner is in the supermarket, he's like, oh, I really want one of those biscuits. I'm like, you know, we've got the cookies in the freezer. You can just bake it at home, and it's so much better than the supermarket one.
Absolutely. It tastes a lot better because you bake it with love as well.
And a lot of sugar and a lot of salt.
And, you know, a lot of the ingredients that you know, no preservatives. Mm. So it's also healthier for you. I mean, I have to tell you that I lose a lot of weight just by eating healthy, just by living zero waste. So I become healthier. My financial situation is getting better. My social life is getting better. You know, it's a positive vibe all through different factors of life once you start it. Yeah.
So zero waste living, it's good for the whole of you, good for your mental health, good for your physical health, and good for your wallet.
Yeah. And I don't feel guilty, you know, like I have this guilty feeling sometimes. Let's say, have you watched the video with the turtle? They have a straw stuck on the nose, like, you know, that is like all the viral videos in the past.
I avoid those because I don't want to feel guilty.
See, that's the whole thing. Like, I feel so guilty whenever I see the straw. So when I don't use it, I'm like, oh my God, finally, at least there's no one straw that end up in the ocean, you know, for this turtle to see. Because everything, especially living in the archipelago, living in Indonesia, everything end up in the ocean one way or another. So we have to do something about that as well. Yeah.
So I do have a few questions from the audience today. So our first question today is, I'm so guilty of impulsive shopping. How can I approach our daily purchasing decisions to minimize waste and maximize eco-friendly choices, especially when it comes to household essentials?
I was that person. Whoever asked this question, I feel you. I used to have, I don't know, maybe 20 shoes that I barely use, you know, like, and then there's like 2-3 pairs that I use every day. But when you want to start it, have this question in mind whenever you go out. Whenever you go out of the shopping alley or in the shopping mall, have a question that is like, you know, am I going to use it a lot? Do I really need it or I just want it? Is there any, you know, anyone that I can borrow if I only use it for once? And what is the environmental impact for the product that I'm using? This is a very, very important question that you have to ask yourself. And I usually, right now, when I want to buy something, I look at it and I said like, okay, this is cute. And then I go home and I ask this question to myself, like, do I really need it? Do I want it? You know, like, am I going to use it all the time? How am I going to dispose it when I need to dispose it? And that's control me from my impulsive buying, because then I know that I will feel guilty if I couldn't answer these questions properly and then I still bought the gift or the stuff or the things that I'm buying. So hopefully this will help you as well. But again, don't beat yourself up if you accidentally buy it, because we're human. We are making errors a lot of times, and it's okay. And that's where we learn. We're not going to learn anything if we don't make mistakes.
Yeah, thank you. Our second question is, I try to repurpose some plastics or glass bottles into something else. Can you provide some inspiring examples of upcycling or repurposing common household items that might be otherwise discarded?
Okay. Well, the containers can be used for pots, for plants. If you're a plants person, I love plants. Especially living in Jakarta, where it's like really hot and really polluted, having indoor plant is actually a really blessing and, you know, really good for you as well. So I use it a lot for pots and plants. And the plastic that I have, if I can reuse it, I reuse it for different purposes, like containers of soaps and detergents if I buy it in bulk. Because yes, glass jar is better, but sometimes you have access to plastic, so just use the plastic. And just make sure that the plastic is in the type of plastic that is polypropylene, so you have the symbol of arrow running through, the triangle symbol of arrow running through, and then it's number 5 inside it, because that is a reusable plastic. That type of plastic, polypropylene, is heat resistant, is acidity resistant. So you can use it for example, citrusy stuff. You can use it for hot stuff as well. You can reuse this plastic. But if you want to upcycle it, which means like, you know, you're not repurposing it, but you use it for different purpose that is better. I find making a tote bag or making a little pouch from like plastic bags is fun, let's say. So you use heat to melt them down together. Just make sure you have a good airy ventilated area to do that. And another thing that you can do is, if you're into crafting and crochet, you can also create thread of plastic and crochet the plastic, which I did in the past as well, during COVID, because, you know, you need to have hobbies and you just do that for fun. But yeah, there are so many ways you can find it online. You can go through various different websites, maybe like this, the website that I told you, the Plastic Free July website, also give you some tips that you can take a look on. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Thank you. That's a really cool way of thinking of like plastic bags, because despite how I try, I do end up with plastic bags. I've never thought of melting them together to make like a fabric, because I sew as well. And maybe now I'm going to make myself a tote bag out of shopping bag. It'll be the ultimate.
Or like a laptop case, you know, it's like waterproof from outside.
True.
So it's
That's
nice.
Great. Ooh, I have ideas now. I don't have time, but I have ideas. Thank you. All of our audience questions today.
Sounds good.
So I think we're going to have to skip the open mic today. We've got 15 minutes left, and I think I want to make sure we've got everything uploaded before we finish. So I'm just going to move on to our conclusion. Sorry. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me today. If our listeners want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
They can check me out on Instagram at nonanoplastic. And you can also find me on LinkedIn at Neela Patti. You can email me as well if you are interested in emailing. nfa.patti@gmail.com. So if you have more questions, if you have more inspiration or tips, or you think like, oh, you know what, I found something more interesting, please do share. I will take a look at it.
Great, thank you. And we'll put all of the links that you've mentioned and also your email address in our show notes so everyone can find them. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Gabriella and the team, for having me and for you for listening to us.
You've been listening to Room by Room, produced by the Home Organization Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes like this from across 10 life management perspectives can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and other podcasting apps available on your smart devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps other people find it so we can grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at ho.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Gabriella Yastra. Thanks for tuning in.